Go for it.
Okay. Hello, and thank you for joining me on today's episode of the This Green Life podcast. I'm super excited to have our guest, Jamie Kate, joining us today. Jamie is a nurse based in Los Angeles who shares her passion for travel, food, minimalism, and zero waste on her blog and YouTube channel. Although Jamie works in one of the most wasteful industries that uses a lot of plastic, she strives to live zero waste in her personal life. Welcome, Jamie, and thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me, Angela.
Thank you, and I guess Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, really. I'm super excited.
I know, right? So, you are a nurse, and you are zero waste. Can you tell us about your journey into minimalism? And what was your reason? How did you learn? And then kind of how that, if that segued into being zero waste.
Okay, so I don't know if you have seen my previous videos, but I've discussed how I got interested in zero waste as a challenge. So I started it back in 2016, and I saw articles about zero waste when I was researching about minimalism. So I decided to do minimalism first before zero waste. And for the zero waste part, I saw an article about the family who practiced zero waste. And it's a family of four. It's Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I was just quite amused how a family of four can live zero waste and be able to like mash up their trash in a mason jar. And I thought it was impossible. But when I tried it myself, you can really do it. It's possible, but there are a lot of sacrifices and a lot of changes that you have to do in your life. Right. But after doing the 30-day challenge, I accumulated a little bit of trash. Yeah. I decided to just continue and just push myself to trying a little bit harder to do the zero waste thing. And I practiced for a year. And I just, you know, accepted the fact that I will not go back to my wasteful ways. Right. And ever since, I've been trying or striving to live zero waste.
Nice.
But the thing is, I live zero waste, but I work as a nurse. So that means anything that I accumulated at my workplace, I don't bring at home.
Right.
It's kind of ironic to live zero waste and be a nurse, just because everything that we use at the hospital comes in plastic packaging. And plastic has been revolutionary when it comes to the medical field. It has helped a lot of people. Medications are packed in plastic. So I wouldn't say that zero waste is ever possible in healthcare. But this thing with believing in zero waste and being passionate about my profession is that is a sacrifice that I am willing to make for the safety of my patients. Right. Now, I'm not going to try to apply zero waste in my profession just because there are so many risks that comes with trying to eliminate plastic in healthcare, because the reason why we use plastic and disposable stuff in healthcare is to prevent infection control. And if we break that infection control, then we get people more sick, and that will accumulate more waste. And that would be, you know, more wasteful than it actually needs to be. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I watched that video on YouTube, your video on YouTube of you going throughout your day as a nurse in your hospital, and, you know, the different plastics with the medication and the syringes.
Oh,
and then at the end of the day, the trash that you guys throw away, I was like, whoa.
Yes. And it's crazy because now I work in a different hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Where I worked before is just like a retirement home. and we are the skilled nursing part, so we get the more sick residents.
Yes.
But now that I actually work at the hospital and most of my patients are tracheostomy patients and G-tube patients, we have more waste because if you haven't seen like a tracheostomy patient, everything is in plastic. Like they breathe because of that. The ventilator mm-hmm. has a lot of plastic, and that tubing that where the oxygen flows is plastic, and their life depends on plastic. So that is one thing that you cannot get rid of because their life depends on plastic. So I think that is one factor or like one argument that we have. You know, I'm not sure if you've heard of the plastic straw ban that that has been a hot topic because, you know, it's more of benefiting the able-bodied mm-hmm. people than the disabled. And plastic straws, although it's like such a small part of the plastic pollution, what people don't understand is this plastic straw is essential for disabled people. And we don't see it in a way because we are so focused about the benefits or like the disadvantages it has for able-bodied people.
Right. And actually that whole situation with the plastic ban, straw ban, and just the different people, Alice Wong and mm-hmm. all of them. And that actually was what made me think a little more about zero waste mm-hmm. because I was more on, I guess, what the mainstream was saying. Because that, you know, for the most part, that's all you hear is, you know, straws are bad, you know, reduce, right. refuse, reuse. You know,
yes.
So, you know, don't use single use straws and plastic bags and water bottles and on and on and on and on. And then mm-hmm. the ban in California with the plastic straws came out, and then how strict the laws were and how the restaurants were not going to be offering it anymore. And just so much. And then I connected with Woke and Wasteless, and then I watched mm-hmm. the video with that you guys did, you and Woke and Wasteless and Alice Wong and, you know, all them for the Greenpeace back early part of the summer or early part of this year. And it really and Olivia Lapierre, and I really started thinking, you know, there are way more issues. You know, it would be great to, you know, not have you know, plastic straws if you're able.
Right.
You know, it's, mm-hmm. it would be great to not use, you know, plastic bags and water bottles if you're able to not use those things. And so it got me thinking, you know, how deep are the issues
right.
around, you know, banning plastic and not using plastic? And is it possible? And what is the message that I'm giving my audience? And is that mm-hmm. accurate? Is that, you know, correct? Because I don't want to give any information that's incorrect or impossible, because I have different demographics of people that follow us on Instagram and Facebook that purchase our products. And so I'm always conscious of the message that I'm giving out, because I'm an environmentalist and I do eco-friendly living, but I've been doing this since 2012, and it is truly mm-hmm. a journey that you take. You know, it's not
yeah.
do overnight, and you know, there's so many issues, and you know, so so that issue with the plastic straws was like the literal eye-opening for me to like think mm-hmm. really about, you know, what are the issues, not just on the surface, because we can have surface issues and never crack the core of anything. And so and, you know, as a nurse and as an environmentalist yourself, personally, professionally, you know, what do you consider the issues are? What are the environmental, climate change, plastic pollution? What are the issues that are most important in the things that you focus on for yourself?
I think the issue that I see is that we don't get to really see where our waste goes. So we don't have an idea, or like we don't have that grasp of how severe climate change is. I feel like if we, you know, the Zero Waste movement has been very helpful because it brings awareness and it shows people what can be done to, you know, to improve the way we manage our waste, but it's not enough. I feel like as long as we are fighting, or like we're fighting against greedy corporate people who pushes plastic and for, you know, for just like money, they make money off of destroying our planet, it's going to be a hard battle because these issues are not shown in media. Therefore, not a lot of people are aware of how bad it really is. And I feel like we need to have more voices to show the reality of it, and just like influencing other people to make small changes. And I feel like it is such a journey. And we all have different, you know, we have different experiences depending on where we live. Yes. So I would say that zero waste is actually a privilege. There's also one argument that people don't see. It's like people think that everyone can be zero waste. I mean, that would be great, but that's not the case. I live in LA. And everything is accessible to me. Therefore, I can live zero waste. I can, you know, I can brag about being able to buy at the bulk section, being able to dispose recyclable materials at TerraCycle Recycling Center. And that's not the case for everyone. And I feel like it is also important to consider that we are all different, and zero waste looks different for each and everyone.
Right.
So that's also an issue that I can think of.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, and I really appreciate you saying that, because, you know, like I say, the narrative is zero waste is very trendy right now, and there are so many, you know, I don't know what the word to say other than trendy, and it looks good and it feels good. And it's like,
I know. I was a victim too. Like, you know how zero waste promotes like zero waste products? And I was a victim of that too. Like, it was like kind of like a green consumerism.
Yeah.
You know, when I was starting out, like green products are being promoted, like, oh, you need this to be zero waste. And I was a victim of that. I purchased like tons of zero waste products, but the reality is you don't need those. You just have to use what you have. And you know, it's so weird now that I've been practicing it for a long time. I wish I could have, you know, learned that early on, but you know, we're here.
I mean, I think we all get sucked into that silo of just, you know, of what it is, you know, based on who's telling us the message. And, you know, I think that's why we need to have different voices and different perspectives, you know, of so many different issues. And, you know, the environment is such an important thing. You know, when I started in 2012, living eco-friendly, it was considered eco-friendly back then. Now it's green living and, you know, all these different key phrases. And I'm like, what is that? Green living?
Yeah.
I'm like, back in the day, it was eco-friendly. And, you know, I couldn't find a book. I think I had maybe one or two books that were available to me. And of course, it was, like you said, consumerism as well. And I had to do my very best to DIY. I didn't know of Bea Johnson until actually a couple years ago. And, you know, now you have so many excellent people on Instagram and so many documentaries and just so much wealth of information that's usable. You know, some of it you can use and some of it you can watch and just say, oh, that's great. And, you know, it's good informational information, and then pass on. But, you know, So it's just all in what you can do and what you're able to do. And I always tell people, you know, whatever it is you can do, do that.
Yeah,
do that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a certain pressure for people who try to practice zero waste, just because I think one factor is the term zero waste.
Yeah.
People expect you to not have trash at all. They can't like think of it as a goal.
Yeah.
Because for me, zero waste is a goal that I wish I can do further in my life. But right now we're not in an environment where you can practice like totally zero waste. Mm-hmm. And I wish there is like a better term for it so that people can actually like grasp the idea of like being eco-friendly. But that's the term that we have, and that's the catchy term that we have.
Yeah.
And yeah, just the pressure of like people's expectation of you not having trash at all. And I feel like that is like a bad interpretation, just because when you say zero waste and they see that, they look at it as not throwing any trash at all, that they don't even try to do or to change something in their life, because the initial thinking that they have is that that's impossible, therefore I will not do anything.
And you know, and that's so true though, because I know, even though I'm not zero waste and I'm not minimalism, I still consider myself eco-friendly, because I mm-hmm. do the very best that I can based on what I have. And so, you know, 2018 was all about reducing my plastic output. And, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do in 2019, but, you know, I take each, you know, issue that I feel that's important to me, and I try to tackle it as best as I can, you know,
because
I have a partner that doesn't want to do, I mean, she's actually coming around to mm-hmm. Some of my eco-friendly ways, but like I said, I've been doing this since 2012, so just imagine all that time of doing it alone. And then now 2018 going into 2019, and she just wants to jump on board and say, you know, I see what you're doing and I agree with it, and mm-hmm. let's do it together. So, you know, I've been doing this solo, and everybody's been looking at me like, you're mm-hmm. crazy. And I'm like, I'm not, I promise.
You know, it's hard. It's hard when you've been doing it alone, you know, your ways and your habits. And then someone comes along and who is complete opposite.
Yeah.
So it really is, it goes down to like compromising what your partner can compromise, what you can compromise. Because there are some things that are, I would say, wasteful or like comes in plastic that, let's say, like I have a significant other, and my significant other appreciates this thing that comes in plastic packaging. Is that something that you're going to give up knowing that your partner gets joy or like happiness from it? You know, it's like one of those things that you also have to consider. Are you just going to like stick to your belief that you don't want any plastic in your life, but this thing brings joy to your partner? You know, like it's so complicated.
It
really is like just compromising, because you know there are some things that comes in plastic packaging that my family or my friends appreciate, and I like giving stuff knowing mm-hmm. that they would appreciate it and right. they will feel love when I give it. So right. you know, it's one of those things that I have to think about.
Yeah, I think that's the truest and the greatest statement that you can, you know, when mm-hmm. it comes to minimalism and zero waste and just living life in general is,
because you can't be just like, oh, okay, that comes in plastic, therefore I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't purchase that or wouldn't get that. Yeah. But, you know, if that certain item like brings happiness to who is important to you, and that would nourish your relationship, wouldn't you choose that over, you know, over believing that plastic is bad? I don't know, it's such a complicated state of thinking. But yeah, there are some things that I compromise. So now I've developed a healthy relationship with my belief with plastic. Before, when I did the zero waste challenge, where I was so obsessed with like stuffing my trash in a jar, and I was so obsessed with not accumulating trash at all. There are some times, there are some days, times that I was miserable because like my belief of not having plastic was stronger than, you know, than what was in front of me. Yeah. That I felt miserable at one point. And so I figured out that it's all about balance.
Yeah.
It's all about, and we're not in a perfect zero waste world. I wish we are. And I wish that we live in a circular economy, but right now that's not our place. And therefore we have to, you know, to just accept that everything is just balance.
Yeah. And yeah, that's so true. I had to actually realize that, as far as like using chemicals and understanding, you know, the effectiveness and the efficacy of certain chemicals and why they exist. And I was just reading, I get all these like science journals and, you know, so I read a lot about chemicals and science and, you know, all that. And, but reality hit me this weekend when I was, I had to go to LA to help a family member with her elderly mother. She, they had to move out of their house and had some water damage. And so the insurance was fixing some stuff. And so she wanted us to go in and help clean and get it prepared for her her mother to come back. You know, the mother is like 89, 90, you know, suffers from dementia and, you know, just lives in this house. And, you know, we were cleaning and, you know, I bought my cleaners. I was like, oh, I'm going to bring my non-toxic cleaners and I'm going to clean the house. And then I realized that, you know, although my cleaners are very effective, they're very safe, you know, I also actually need some bleach to clean out certain areas because there's rodents and, you know, things, little critters crawling around, and, you know, just for peace of mind and further safety, you know, I use the bleach. And I was like, I'm going to use this bleach begrudgingly because I know the effectiveness of how it cleans germs. And, you know, and so I use my cleaner as well. And, but I use that, and I had to like really come to terms with, you know, not all chemicals are bad. And I know this, I say this in theory. I say this all the time. Oh, chemicals are not bad, you know, and they're created for a certain reason, but they actually have to stop. Cause I don't use bleach in my personal life and my home or anything like that. But to know when there is a situation that calls for a stronger chemical, I'm going to use that stronger chemical, even if it's against everything that I stand.
Yes, same as medicine. You know, you can do like DIY medications or like, you know, healing, but there are times when you really need medicine. And all medications come in plastic packaging or foil packaging, and that's something that, you know, you just have to accept because your health is priority.
Yeah, that's so true. So I was watching one of your YouTube videos, and this video has stuck in my mind so much that I'm going to actually create my own video. And because we're doing a challenge in January. And so I'm going to do a video of what I have in my zero waste kit. And I was just so fascinated because you had the zero waste kit that you created with you know, with one of your friends, and you did this video on YouTube, and, you know, explain to me the concept of the zero waste kit. What is the concept behind it, and what would you, or do you have in your own?
Okay, so my zero waste kit actually consists of, if you've seen the video, it's just a mason jar, like a reusable towel, and my foldable utensils. So when I decided to make that zero waste kit. I want it to be portable and it wouldn't be a burden to carry around. And of course, I want it to look cute just because like, I feel like when your container is kind of, I would say like, if it's like in a glass jar, it's more acceptable right. to use at Starbucks or like Jamba Juice. They kind of like consider it. But if it's just like a random tumbler that is, you know, dirty, they will be like, no, you cannot use that. But that has been my zero waste kit ever since I started.
Okay.
And it was just, it's very light and anyone can actually just make it.
Yeah.
It's so easy. It's not complicated because there are so many like zero waste kits out there that one, they're too expensive and overpriced, mm-hmm. and two, they're hard to clean. So mm-hmm. I look for like the simplest option that I have, and that's what I came up with.
Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ever since I saw that video, I was like, I need to create one of those. You know, I'm not zero waste, but when I go out, I try to, I take my own utensils and my own straw. And I just recently mm-hmm. got it. I guess I'm going towards zero waste. But
that's
I
amazing.
Quite,
yeah. I mean, so. Just like small changes. It's like a snowball effect. Once you get the hang of like bringing your own container or bringing your own mason jar, you will develop this like sense of like, what can I do more? What can I change in my habits? And it's just gonna keep on coming. And then the next thing you know, you're almost like zero waste in your like everyday living. And I think that's a good way to like transition yourself to zero waste rather than going cold turkey, because I did cold turkey and it was hard just because like I had to give up so much that I wasn't prepared for. But like just adapting small changes and like doing it consistently, I think that's the best way to live zero waste.
Nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree. I absolutely agree. Now, in the beginning of your journey, and even now, what are some books? Because I love to read, I love to watch documentaries, and I love to share that with our audience. Can you give us, some books or documentaries or some blogs or people that you follow on social media? Can you share some of those with our audience?
Sure. My very first inspiration was actually Bea Johnson of Zero Waste Home. I've always been fascinated about how they live the zero waste lifestyle, and I'm actually fascinated like learning about the journey of her kids, just because like growing up, it's your parents who instilled the zero waste in you. So mm-hmm. now that they're growing up and having changes in their lives, mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how they practice their ways at, right. high school or college. Because, peer pressure-wise, it's hard to live when you live differently.
Right.
Also, one of my biggest inspiration is Andrea of B0. She's an activist and she promotes plastic pollution education through her blog. I think her blog is B0. And I love the approach that she has, because she has like a kind approach where it's not a black and white thing for zero waste. You can still be zero waste even though you are creating trash. And I feel like that is the kind of mentality that is healthy for most people, because if you beat yourself up for the small like mistake or like zero waste fail, I think you won't be successful or you won't be so interested in continuing your journey.
Right.
For books, I do enjoy the Zero Waste Home, and also my friend Chia Su of the Wasteland Rebel just release a book, I think this year. It's called Zero Waste, Simple Life Hacks to Drastically Reduce Your Trash. And she shares her journey and her ways of living zero waste. And it's a more fun approach. And she shares like the fails and the success that she experienced all throughout her journey. And she's been one of my inspirations as well. She does like talks, and she talks about how to live zero waste in different like places. I think she's now in Germany. So those are like the books that I do enjoy. And when it comes to minimalism, I do enjoy listening to the podcast of The Minimalist. I feel like they have so much information to offer, not just like being minimalist with physical stuff, but they also discuss about, you know, having the mentality of a minimalist and like being minimalist with your finances, your family, your friends, your relationships. And I think their podcast is great. So those are my favorites.
Okay. That's great. That's a great list. I will, I'm going to include that into my resource on our website. So all that will be on there and people can go and look and see, you know, what interests them and click on it and find more about each of those people, books, you know, and all that podcast. So that's an excellent list. And so can you give us one tip, one effective tip to, you know, starting or continuing or whatever on the minimalist journey, and then one tip for the zero waste journey?
Okay, so I think for both, because minimalism and zero waste are kind of similar, I would say that the best approach to start living minimalist lifestyle and zero waste lifestyle is to just know why you want to do it. What can you benefit from living zero waste or living minimalist? And ask yourself if this will elevate your life in any way. And also, you have to educate yourself, learn from people, get inspiration, and you don't have to do it all at once. And just be kind to yourself. The journey is like a lifelong process. And just do small things after the other. And the next thing you'll know is you're going to develop these sets of habits that you can apply in your life. And that would transition you to the zero waste or the minimalist lifestyle gradually and more effectively. For zero waste, I would say just use up what you can. Don't be victimized by green consumerism. Use whatever you have, and then when it's time to replace those things, look for second-hand options or ask your family members if there are things that they don't need anymore. And buying would be like your last resort. And really just keep on getting inspiration from people around you. And I feel like once you apply that into your life, you will be more effective when it comes to implementing these habits. And it will be much easier for you and more enjoyable, of course, to live minimalist and the zero waste lifestyle.
Yes, I totally agree with all of that. And so what is coming up for you in 2019? Like what are you going to be doing? More YouTube videos, more blogging? What are we going to see?
I actually wanted to make more content. I noticed from my YouTube channel that DIY videos are more popular.
Yes.
So I might do a lot more zero waste videos, and also I want to share like more of my minimalist journey, like how minimalism affected my relationships, my finances, and just my mental health. I want to be able to share my experiences to my audience, and hopefully I'll be more consistent with posting, because I think that's one thing that I wasn't doing back in 2018. Yeah. But yeah, I want to reach more people and learn from other people, because that's the beauty of being online and putting yourself out there.
Yes.
When people find your content, they share, you share a piece of you with them, and in return they share their experiences with you through, yes, like, you know, leaving comments. And you know, I learn from them. I love interacting with viewers because I learn a different perspective, and mm-hmm, I want to continue that in 2019.
That's awesome. Now give us where we can find you, your website and your social media. Do you have Facebook, Instagram? Where can we find you on the internet?
Okay, so I have a blog. My website is jamiekate.net. And you can find me on Instagram. My username is Miss Jamie Kate. Also on Twitter, Miss Jamie Kate. And I love listening and reading all comments and interactions. So go ahead and follow me there and leave me a note and share me your experiences.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jamie. I really appreciate
you. Thank you so much, Angela. Been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day. Happy New Year.
You too. Happy New Year.